Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Access Astrology on February 14th, 2018. We're three astrologers who find astrology fascinating and how it unfolds in our personal lives, in our metaphysics, and in our political reality. This is Heather Rowan Robbins speaking to you tonight from the Flathead Valley of Montana in Ronan on the Western Slopes. Snowing out there tonight on this cold night. And that cold, you know, it's a Valentine's Day, and we all think about being towards our heart and being in an emotional condition to feel bountiful and full of love for all sentient beings. I always think of the true nature of Aquarian holiday is what we were doing when we were little kids and we gave Valentine's to everybody in our classroom. And I'm joined tonight by Mark.
Hello, Mark Waltz, joining from New York City.
And Anne Ortley may or may not be along with us, but we all send our love out to you.
Okay.
Yeah. And
Happy Valentine's Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. And, you know, I was saying it's good to be with people that we love and think about loving, like our audience here tonight, especially today because it's such a hard day with that Venus-Pluto semi-square. All right, Valentine's days are usually loaded with expectations that disappoint people. Very few people really feel like, oh, what a perfect Valentine's Day. It's, you know, will my relationship live up to my expectations? Did I live up to their expectations? Oh, darn, why do I have to, you know, do I eat chocolate or not? And, or I'm alone and lonely. And this one, it, you know, and my favorite Valentine was the year that we did a fundraiser for Bosnian rape victims. And it was, you know, a communal event, and we brought a lot of love and power and intensity to that day, and we raised a lot of money, and we did good things, and it was a way of, you know, offering our heart. It was our meta meditation to the world. Have you been to any kind of ways that you have loved celebrating Valentine's in a truly Aquarian way?
Not on Valentine's Day.
Mm-hmm.
That would be the best.
Yeah, but it feels like when you were a little kid, did you give out Valentine's to everybody in second grade?
Yep.
Ever do that?
Mm-hmm. Yep.
That you know, that strikes me as how we should do real Valentine's. Is, you know, how do we love our community? How do we love each other rather than make it a time when people feel excluded? 14 years ago, my dad died, not Valentine's Day. He was dying. He died the next morning. So it's always a bittersweet holiday for me. I always felt that was his last gift to us, that he didn't die on Valentine's. And today we have that horrible shooting in the Florida schools. Another heartbreaking event. Venus semi-square Pluto. And tomorrow is a new moon in Aquarius and a solar eclipse, though only visible from the southern hemisphere. So this whole time between the eclipses has really kind of let a lot of paths ending and room being created for new paths, but a real shift. What have you noticed in this time between the eclipses?
Well, it seems like we're just having shifts all over the place, whether it's between the eclipses or not.
Mm-hmm.
The whole past 12 months have been somebody fired every week.
Right.
Seems like, you know, and... It's getting a little, like, how do we get past this? You know,
mm-hmm.
you just lurch from one piece of astounding news to the next. and it's getting it's wearing thin.
Mm-hmm. So, it's getting really tricky.
Yeah, but maybe that's what this eclipse will bring. It's finally a change of paradigm. Maybe they've worn this one out. You know, this is basically Trump's apprentice reality show.
Mm-hmm.
And maybe people will finally catch on to that and just say, okay, we're not going to react to you anymore.
Wouldn't that be nice?
Yeah, so I'm hoping actually that that's what is going to come, because I'm getting that sensibility more and more from people and picking that up, that people are, you know, they want to change the channel.
Mm-hmm.
So the channel change at this point.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Would be good, and that would be a good way to use the eclipse, just to
mm-hmm.
fix that way of doing things, that TV paradigm, and, you know, at least get a different show. It might not
Wouldn't that be nice?
But at least
mm-hmm.
it would be different. So anyway, that's my hope, is that we're headed toward that kind of thing, and an eclipse can do that. You know, something that has been there, has been operating a certain way, and now its time is over.
Yes, and that is, you know, and there are so many different paradigms that we'd like to see shifted here.
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm still shocked that people call for more armed guns in schools instead of how do we respond with more safety for our children, rather than more guns around them, because
right.
that continues the paradigm for them that the only way to solve a problem is with guns.
Right, and it actually doesn't work.
No.
You know, and you know, really, if I had a child in school at this point, I would want to know who's training the people with the guns. What's their training? Because it takes very good training to be able to figure out who's the shooter, where are they at, what's going on with them,
mm-hmm.
you know, and keep a level head, not just go and just shoot whoever's moving. And so, you know, I think it's pretty reckless to say we need more guns in the schools.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And it is so, and that Venus-Pluto square, you know, if we can use it, that kind of loneliness and thoughtfulness and the melancholy of the moment to speak to our, to help us love each other more and love one another more and love in a different way, it feels so important.
The Pluto-Venus connection can give us deep insight into what someone needs in terms of love themselves.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know, most people are not born to be a mass murderer.
No.
They get there by some kind of, something gets derailed in the sense of what it
mm-hmm.
is to be worthy of love and to be worthy of giving love.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, when with the Pluto-Venus contact now, we can get a deep insight into that, or we can say, well, we have to overpower it with more
mm-hmm.
guns.
Mm-hmm.
And one of the things that's helpful with astrology is to see the different ways we can use the same energy in the sky.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And to realize that we have a choice. And so since it hasn't worked to fight domestic terrorism with more weapons, then why not try approaching it for what's setting this off? You know,
mm-hmm.
where's the lack of love? Not throw more lack of love at it.
Right. I agree.
Mm-hmm. So
I agree.
You can try that out.
Yes.
Call your congressperson. Say, explain to
speak
them.
Speak up and, you know, speak about. One of the things that is so horrible to look at is the lack of compassion in all the new recent, in the new budget, for instance.
Mm-hmm.
And how do you really speak for compassion in your life and to your senators and to your congressmen? because there's such a voice against it when you have somebody who's not able to empathize in the White House.
Right.
I was a poem from Hafiz that affected me, that reminded me of today. And it's his poem, you know, he's 14th century or whatever it is. He's way back there, Sufi mystic. He said, "Don't surrender your loneliness too quickly. Let it cut more deep. Let it ferment and season you as few human or even divine ingredients can. Something missing in my heart tonight has made my eyes so soft, my voice so tender, my need for God absolutely clear."
Mm.
And I thought that fit that Venus-Pluto square.
Yeah, very nicely.
Mm.
Yeah, and that's using square to go more deeply into the sense of what is love? How
mm-hmm.
do I experience
mm-hmm.
it? What am I? Mm-hmm. What am I? How do I feel that something is missing, and how do
mm-hmm.
I fill that in? And in this case, we end up saying, "Love of God."
Mm-hmm. And it is that love of connection to spirit, to everything, to all of us. You know, and I remember
mm-hmm.
one Unitarian minister that I was teaching a class in spiritual counseling, but who considered himself an atheist. And I said, how do you spiritually counsel as an atheist? And he said that, you know, spiritual pain is being lonely and separate. And if you can create connection between you and that person, between you and their community, between you and their sense of God, you soothe their spiritual pain. And I thought that was really powerful to
me. Nice. Yeah.
So I'd love to see, more community events happen around these holidays, and more group experiences and less focus on romance and more on, you know, creating a loving environment for Valentine's Day.
Good.
That's my,
okay, so
I'm voting for that.
We all are able to make a choice, especially locally,
mm-hmm.
like that. We can express ourselves. So it might not happen on the larger political
mm-hmm.
stage, but people within arm's reach are
mm-hmm.
who we can touch. And
right.
if all of us do that, eventually all of those reaching arms circle around the whole world.
Mm-hmm. That's beautiful. Now, we have a few, we have one email letter, and no one on their line has raised a question, but if you have a question, call in 347-215-8881, that's 347-215-8881, and raise your hand by pressing 1 once you're on the line. So the question we have tonight is from someone whose date of birth is 7/24/1965 at 10:12 p.m. in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And she reports that she divorced 5 years ago and can't seem to meet anybody interesting. Just bright, funny, kind. Said, "I'm not a, that she is friendly but not outgoing. She doesn't want to jump out of an airplane, but she's up for everything else. And so she's looking for how ways of connecting and feeling interdependent instead of too independent." So that's a good question here on Valentine's Day.
Yeah,
because when we see in a chart, we don't see whether or not someone is going to be in a relationship or when, but we can see something about how do we use this time and what do we tend to do to block a relationship. I don't know where she's living at the moment, so I can't say if the area is good for her, but it's an interesting process. And she is a Leo, Moon in Gemini with a Pisces rising, but Saturn on the rise, on the ascendant in Pisces. And her Mars is 14 Libra. So until recently, Mars has been, Pluto has been squaring her Mars in the House of Partnerships, which has been a real delay, but I don't think it needs to stay that way. And I would say when I look at her chart, her progressed moon is at 17 Taurus. It's moving into a trine with Pluto, which is right now at 20 degrees of Capricorn. So over the next 3 months, her moon will move into a trine and sort of really asking her to look at, she kind of wants to get cuddly. She wants to get personal. She wants to kind of get back into her body and care. Uranus is also trining her Venus and Mercury. Uranus is at now 25 Aries, but it's going to come up and trine her Venus and Mercury three times this year, or at least two. It's going to go up into Taurus, back up, trine it again, and then forward again into Taurus. So three times it's going to hit those, changing her emotional habits. So it looks to me like her discontent now is the feeling that you often get right before a transit hits that helps you break some of your old habits, that discontent, that that kind of feeling like, you know, you're sitting in wet wool and things are just uncomfortable. You know what I mean, Park?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, definitely.
Do you see anything in particular going on with her chart that we can help her, how to meet people, how to break out of her independence, which is lovely, and create more connection?
Well, she always she has a sense of responsibility that can kind of trip her up, you know, and like she takes a responsibility on a really deep level. So I think that there's a tendency to look at any person of interest a little deeper than the situation warrants. So she might learn to just ease up. And let a light contact be just that, a light contact, and then see where it goes. I think she has a tendency to sort of look way into something right away. And it's hard for them to do that.
And you, I often say with most people, the best way to meet somebody is to do what you love to do and look around and see who's doing it too.
Yeah.
And she has a loaded Mercury, loaded sixth house. And, you know, it looks like that's one of the things that it's a real skill that she's walking into. She's got her north node in Gemini conjunct her moon, and Neptune is squaring those two at the moment from near her ascendant. Her Neptune now transiting is 13 Pisces, and her moon is 14 Gemini, and her north node 11 Gemini. But that seems to me is, you know, her community is, how can she see her community more clearly and with brighter eyes? How can she do sixth house stuff with her community and find other good people doing that? And that sixth house would be, you know, finding study groups that deal with health, helping out animals, working with a charity, being helpful to people, or finding groups that are creating intimacy because they're working on some form of workshop or transformative experience together, because she's got Uranus and Pluto in her sixth house along with Mercury, Venus, and Hygieia. Process of transforming one way or the other is really important to her. And if she goes along with her process of, you know, finding people that are also interested in transforming or helping or assisting or walking wild animals, she will most likely find an excuse to break out of that Pisces sensitivity. Because Capricorn, Saturn on the ascendant, tends to be someone who appeared older than they were when they were young and tends to look like they don't need any help. So
yeah,
it looks like the more she needs people, the more diffident she tends to be. And that just comes across as someone a little hard to get to know, even though she's feeling all kinds of warm and friendly on the inside.
Right. Yeah, I think that's really a good point to look at the group and the
mm-hmm.
activity
mm-hmm.
of the group
mm-hmm.
and put a lot of energy into the whatever
mm-hmm.
the project
mm-hmm.
is or the theme or the focus of the group.
Mm-hmm.
And,
mm-hmm.
you know, meeting people will just happen and
mm-hmm.
let them happen
mm-hmm.
lightly. And keep the focus on what you're doing in common.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that'll work. It's just, you know, expand the social circle in a light way.
Mm-hmm.
And don't examine every new contact as possibly the right person.
Right. I agree.
You know.
Mm-hmm. I think that was going to be an important part of the process. So
yeah.
Good luck on that. It looks like there's a lot of chances in this next year between now and November to break out of old patterns, break into new neighborhoods or new groups within those neighborhoods to be of service in a way that helps you interact with good people and to experiment with it. Because it's a Uranus trine to your Venus. The more you experiment, you can see, well, that didn't work, but I still had a good evening. And whereas this is helpful and useful.
Yeah.
And we have somebody else is on the line. Hello,
okay.
You're on the air. How can we help you?
Hello?
Yes. Good evening. Happy Valentine's
Hi.
Day.
Happy Valentine's Day. I love your show.
Oh, thank you.
I was wondering if you guys could tell me where my moon line is.
Mm-hmm. Give me your birth information.
Sure. It's June 24th. 1959, and I just today received a relocated chart because I was born in New Jersey, but I've been living since 2004 in Phoenix, Arizona.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And 10/20 in New Jersey is when I was born in the morning.
And 10/20 a.m. in where in New Jersey?
Neptune City, New Jersey.
What? Kansas City?
Neptune City.
Neptune City,
New Jersey. Neptune yeah. City.
Yeah.
I wonder if you had Neptune rising. Let's see.
Yeah.
But now I've been in Phoenix for the, well, since 2004. So the
mm-hmm.
relocated chart that I'm looking at is a lot different than my birth
mm-hmm.
chart that I've been looking
mm-hmm.
at all my life.
Now, remember that your birth chart's still your birth chart.
Okay.
Wherever
yep.
you are, your birth chart trumps everything else.
Okay.
But the relocated chart tells you what that area is bringing out in you. Isn't that what
oh.
you find, Mark?
Yes.
That's
yeah,
how you interface
like
with
you
that
can,
area.
You can change your sense of fashion by moving to different places.
Mm-hmm.
But
oh.
underneath all those clothes, it's still you. And that's your
okay.
natal chart.
Well, I'm trying to get a little tiny summer place in Colorado. And I was hoping since I was having a Jupiter return that
mm-hmm.
I was thinking would be affecting my fourth house. And with this relocated chart, it looks like it's sooner than later. And I don't know if that plays into my moon line where I should
okay.
be or would be happy. But
I'm
I know
just
Colorado.
Kind of looking at which lines are strong for you. And then, pull it into the smaller line. And so when people ask, when they hear about a relocated chart, just for the audience, Mark, can you explain what a relocated chart is?
Well, the relocated chart, you set it up for the exact time that you were born, where you were born, only you do it for the different location.
Mm-hmm.
So in this case, we would say at the same moment that you were born in Neptune City, New Jersey, what if you had been born in Phoenix, Arizona? Same moment
mm-hmm.
of time, but different location.
Mm-hmm.
And it'll change all the houses in the
mm-hmm.
sun and the midheaven. But pretty much, well, actually all the planets stay exactly where they were.
Same
so
degree, same aspects, just different houses.
Yeah, different houses. And
mm-hmm.
a different ascendant, different midheaven, you know. So it's a different chart in that sense.
And when you... and the good thing about relocation astrology is it doesn't matter what house system you use to look at the astrological map. So it's a place there's no signs on it. So Vedic and Western astrologers can work together. And you've got a Mercury line that goes through the East Coast, or the West Coast, but your moon line isn't until your moon line actually runs through Detroit and through South Carolina. So it's nowhere near your moon line. You've got a Juno line there, and you're well within orb. When I do a relocated chart for you to Phoenix, it puts it moves your Mercury close to the ascendant. So your Mercury on the ascendant is the closest line there. So you're thinking of moving up towards Colorado?
I spent 4 years there when I was younger, and I spend as much time as I can there. And I've retired, so I would like to actually buy a small condo to be there all summer. And I was hoping with this Jupiter return in Scorpio that it looked like it was hitting the fourth house of what I always thought was real estate. And I thought, you know, maybe later on this year that might be the time that something comes through.
And that certainly can be. Again, I would go to your natal chart, not necessarily your relocated chart for that, because that relocated chart would talk about investing in Phoenix rather than investing in general.
Oh, okay.
And, you know, you've got no major difficult aspects. You've got Uranus coming up next, you know, briefly this spring and then again next winter, forming a sextile to your sun when Uranus goes into Taurus, which says, some good changes coming up.
I hope
But nothing that demands that you shift. Your progressed moon is at the very top of your chart. How is your work going these days?
Well, I retired in 2012.
So that doesn't mean you're not done with work. You're just done with your work. Like, what are you involved in? What are you excited by?
Well, astrology for one, and actually I think the most profound thing that you might see in my chart is I lost four cats that I love with all my heart within the last 6 months. Boom, boom, boom.
Yeah. So you've been clearing the ground too quickly. Your progressed sun goes into Virgo in a year and a half, and I think that you'll be relocated by then. That's what my feeling is.
Okay. Well, I don't want to live there all year because I have health issues, which is why I came to Phoenix. I want to be in Phoenix for the winter.
Right. No, that makes perfect sense. And, you know, Moon in Aquarius, your surroundings and your environment mean a lot to you. To when we... and I'm just going to take a quick look at your relocated chart in Arizona because they're close together. But it moves Mercury away from the ascendant and puts your moon back in the seventh house of connections and relationships. So I think you find it easier to make friends there, too.
In Phoenix or Colorado? I've got friends in both places.
In Colorado. It just kind of like, it doesn't mean that you don't. It's more moon related in the seventh house in Colorado and more Mercury related in Phoenix. But it looks to me like it's some good changes coming up for you on that work. So, yes, I think you've got a great idea.
Okay.
Okay.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
Good
so
luck.
Yeah.
We just got the 60-second mark. So what would you like to say,
we should,
Mark?
Mention, remind people that March 10 and 11, that weekend, Saturday, Sunday, we're doing a weekend workshop in New York, Heather and Ann and I. And we love doing these workshops. And it's intensive, and so it's not like going to a conference where you get a little smorgasbord, a little bit of everything, which is fun in its way. This, instead, we go in depth into the topics that we're looking at.
And we look forward to working with all of you. You can go to Access Astrology on the Facebook page or to Anne's or my chart, my calendars, on our websites to get more information, our evite.com, and look for Access Astrology. Any of those will help get you there. We look forward to seeing you. Take care, and we'll have a take care of your heart and the heart of the people around you. And
we'll be back next week.
Wonderful. Goodbye.
Bye now.